You're listening to A Real Piece of Work. I probably shouldn't say it that way. You're listening to A Real Piece of Work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals, brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Now,
A Real Piece of Work. Wow, it's exciting to have this interview here today. Thought we'd take a moment. It's been an evolution of a little over 3 years where we've been recording these episodes with phenomenal guests. And we've had a little bit of a recent pivot in a good way. That happens in work, that happens in life. And I've been blessed with a couple of great co-hosts over time. But you know what? Something happened in life. And we've got a phenomenal new co-host who's a supporter of A Real Piece of Work and really jazzed about the opportunity to get things going with some new guests here in the coming weeks and months. And Matt Blaylock of Cold Penny Marketing, welcome to A Real Piece of Work, my friend.
Thanks, Matt. I know when I was a guest on this show, we joked about a part two, but never thought we would be co-hosting this together, man. I'm super excited about it. And you're long to the podcast and the community, man. I want to learn more about you as well.
I think we'll unpack that a little bit today, and I appreciate you pushing the topic of what's the why, what's the story of Matt Rebro. But as listeners, I want you to understand this is not about us. It's about the people listening. I want to give a big shout out to our friends at WVIK that really make this happen for us in partnership with Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Matt, if you don't mind, why don't we get going here? What in the heck? Why would you partner up with me to be a co-host on this?
Matt, obviously we've known each other for a few years now. Just thought it was important to join forces with you to try to do something good for the community and the young people in the community. And I think it's super important that we give back, right? And we try to help young people in this unbelievable task of trying to figure out, like, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I know I didn't have a whole lot of that guidance at the time, being a first generation college student and navigating that on my own and navigating the world after that, trying to get those first jobs. And so I just want to work with you to try to get young people in our community and beyond, like, opportunities that we may not have had or might not be on the horizon for them to learn about different jobs and opportunities, different people in the community and beyond.
Your passion is evident. It's even before you launched Cold Penny Marketing, it was evident that you were committed to the communities that we live and work in. And awesome, you're on it here. But I did just mention Cold Penny Marketing. You've had a phenomenal career as before and now. And what I'm curious about, though, as I did a little homework for this, is Cold Penny Marketing's got a tagline. And I just, for our listeners, what does it mean, taking we should to we did? What does that mean?
It goes back to the name of Cold Penny and the story behind that, which I told before. But in life, a lot of times you get people like, hey, we should do this or we should do that. And that's all well and good. But just like yourself, man, I'm a man of action, right? And I like to get things done. I like to just do it. And so that's where I decided we really focus on taking those things that people say we should and making those into reality and saying, hey, we did it. So less about talk and more about doing it.
Yeah, I think in life there are listeners that paralysis by analysis is often associated with work and life. Sometimes you just got to put it out there, make a decision and go. There's some thought behind it. There's strategy behind it sometimes. But if it's ethical, if it's the right thing to do, you just do it. And sometimes you got to beg for forgiveness if it's slightly off. But a little bit of a shift. You're married, you and Emily, raising a couple great kids. Obviously, our target audience ultimately are our kids that are trying to figure out what's after, what's coming up in life. But sometimes we as parents need to step in and maybe encourage, push, support, or give guidance, say, well, maybe that's not a great decision. But ultimately, we're trying to get these little humans into a space where they're hitting the ground, hopefully running and in a path that creates happiness, success. And success is obviously pretty subjective. But what are you and Emily doing that or not that you're helping your kids with? And what would you advise to the parents and students out there in terms of what's next? It's a pretty broad question, but any ideas?
And at its core, just try to raise good humans. It's when you're a parent, it's the first time you've ever done it, right? And so I don't know that I've got great advice or a tagline as it relates to parenting, but I think one of the things I just try to do is when I wake up in the morning, I try to say, okay, hey, what does each one of my kids and my spouse need from me today to be successful? And sometimes that's give them a pass and say, all right, buddy, I'll drive you to school today instead of getting on the bus. But little things like that, I think as well as I try to think back and put myself into my shoes when I was in junior high and high school and think about all of the great influences that helped me along the way that were my parents and a music teacher. I can tell you his name, the music teacher and all of the people, even surrounding your parenting groups where they provided a lot of guidance. That's what I would say, Matt, is we're all just trying to figure this out in a dynamic world with 7 million things going on and just try to get back a little
bit. I appreciate that answer. It's not easy. And every day we're tasked with some challenge and some situation that is first for that situation for our kids. And I think sometimes giving them a pass is appropriate. And sometimes we got to hold them accountable. But at the end of the day, you hit the nail on the head with let's make some good humans.
Mr. Rebro, I'm so happy to be part of this podcast. And in doing so, there was a lot of questions I had about its origin. And
sure,
that's why for this, we talk about your why. I'm coming into this many episodes in, a lot of great work, but really wanted to learn more about you and your commitment to JA and the podcast and talk a little bit about that. So tell me about Junior Achievement, man. You've had it 20 years or something like that.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to have employers over the years that get back in your community, give back, and we're only successful as our workforce. And so JA at its core, most people think of it, and not me individually, back in junior high, I remember professionals in the Quad City community coming into classrooms and talking about our nation, our world, our city, and planting seeds in us to say, this is how businesses interact and the economy works. And it resonated with me that once I got out of college, that others did that for me, I need to step up. And again, fortunately, I had employers that really said, do it. So once a week for an hour or so, 6-7 weeks in a row, go into a classroom. And got to tell you, in terms of respect, learning what it means and trying to navigate being a quote unquote teacher, even if for 1 hour, it's humbling. And it makes me really appreciate what these educators are doing on a day-to-day basis. And we push our kids out the door every day and put them on a bus or dropping off at school and assume everything is just, you know, perfect once they walk into a classroom. You got 30 individuals that all have things going on outside of school. And these educators are being held accountable and they're doing their best. And what really spawned from that initial experience of going into classrooms and eventually advancing my career, me and many others have gone through leadership experiences to help us improve what we do for our day-to-day job. And again, being citizens and parents, I started going through a program called Leadership Iowa. It's run by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. And for 9 months, we'd go to different locations around the state of Iowa. And topics might be public safety or economic development or education, to name a few. But an undertone of every one of those sessions would be workforce development and the challenges that every one of those industries, every one of those topics had related to that. You have to have people to execute no matter what the industry is that we were talking about that month. And I'd spend no less than 4 to 5 hours in a car to and from these sessions, and I would fill that time with podcasts. I reflected on leaving college while I'm driving down the road, and shame on me, a little bit of a shame on my parents and shame on the institution that I graduated from. I walked out of graduation with next to zero plan. Get a degree, then you'll figure it out. Hindsight, and thus an impetus for the podcast, was there's got to be one more tool out there that potentially get people prepared sooner. I started thinking about my brand and my reach, my ability, and I was already on the board for Junior Achievement of the Heartland. I came to them with the idea of, hey, is there a way that we can touch and reach more students just to say, wow, I just listened to a podcast. It's talking about being an attorney. It's talking about being a welder. It's talking about being a musician. I did not realize the different aspects of that job. I'm more intrigued now than I ever was. That's a success. Or that sounds terrible. I need to shift. gosh, I didn't know if I go to work for a certain firm as a consultant that I may be locked in a room for 50 hours a week and I never get to interact with people. And that's not me. Those are wins. And the number of interns that I have gone through the doors of the employers that I've worked for that step away and say that was, again, phenomenal, or something about that company or the job just wasn't alignment. That's a win because it gets you more, it brings that funnel down of what are the breadth of opportunities out there that align with where you're currently going with your education, with your experiences, with your interactions with your peers and teachers. And if we are stepping up to help people realize that generically, I want to be an accountant. Okay. Do you want to be an accountant in the CPA firm? Do you want to be an accountant in the music industry? Do you want to be an accountant in name the industry? If you have a love for something in life, there's probably a job that needs an accountant. And why not try to blend them? And the brainstorm started to come around and I said, Matt Rebro, yeah, I know people and I've got a nice network that I can tap into to interview, but the brand of Junior Achievement, WVIK in association with NPR, was just going to help raise the bar in terms of reach and finding individuals like yourself that are genuinely interested in people, genuinely interested in helping our future workforce spawned all this. I was fortunate enough, WVIK stepped up and said, we'll produce it. We like your plan. We like your target audience because it's somebody that we don't normally target. Let's get going. And so 3+ years later, 40+ episodes later, we're still rolling. And I'm absolutely excited to get the new version of A Real Piece of Work going with my buddy, Matt.
I want to ask you more about, as you were talking through the different careers and using the accountant example, I've got a good buddy. He's an anesthesiologist. Big job, right? A bad day at work as an anesthesiologist is a little bit different than a day, right? Your own marketing firm, right?
Maybe so, literally saving lives, right?
Yeah, literally. And you know what was it? It's interesting is if you talk to him and you talk to him about his decision process to become an anesthesiologist, he had a very keen insight versus all the other trades in the medical field of being a doctor and specializations. And his thought process was really around, okay, what is my lifestyle going to be, whether I'm an OBGYN or this or that? And then ultimately, the lifestyle of an anesthesiologist on call versus not, all that sort of thing played into his decision process. Talk to me about your career and lifestyle and the balance of that and how you got to where you are in the construction industry today.
Yeah. So when I was about to go off to college, I was offered a job, ironically, by YMCA to be a camp counselor. My dad were, I was blessed that they said a pretty good chunk of your college costs are going to be covered. Not everybody is that fortunate, yeah. But my books and my fun money, whatever that definition is, was on me. And YMCA, God bless them, offered me X number of dollars for the summer. And I just didn't see that helping me through the balance of the school year. I was fortunate then that local construction company was looking for essentially laborers. And I started my path as a pre-apprentice union sheet metal worker for the local 91 union here in the Quad Cities. And first day on the job, I was handed a broom, put my steel-toed boots on, put my safety glasses on, went out into a shop floor, and proceeded to push a broom for 8 hours a day. That was the start, and it was a motivation. And when I say a motivation, as proud as I was of the work, and it wasn't just pushing a broom, but I might be making deliveries to commercial and industrial construction sites. I might be running a forklift. I might be literally punching holes into a piece of metal. But it was good, rewarding work. And I loved the fact at the end of every day, I could either look at a mess that was cleaned up or look at a piece of raw material, sheet metal, that was transformed into HVAC ductwork. I liked being able to see the tangible product at the end of the day that was as a result of my labor. So for 4 summers and every Christmas break, spring break, I'd go back and work at that company. And it made me really appreciate the built environment. Fast forward, after college, I eventually went back to the company doing some marketing and sales, realized that true marketing, while I had some knowledge of it through classes in college, I would say was not my wheelhouse. And it was a lot of it, candidly, was sitting in a room isolated and occasionally interact with coworkers and others. maybe doing some surveys with clients, et cetera. But I found my why, which was I enjoyed interacting with people. And I was fortunate that my boss at the time said, go start knocking on doors. And that really was the point that I eventually got introduced to Russell Construction and Jim Russell. And Jim was a growing entrepreneur here in the Quad Cities. They were a target in terms of potential work for the company at the time. And at 5:30 a.m., Jim would give me a breakfast about once a quarter. And I think it was definitely an intentional test to say, is this 25-year-old kid going to get his out of bed and into a meeting with somebody that could be a potential client? After 2 years of that happening, Jim said, we're looking for somebody to help us grow our brand and grow our reach and grow our revenue and all the above. And so I made the switch, and it really opened my eyes to the construction world. And the neat thing about it that I still love to this day, and the reason why I'm excited every day I come in, is that in a weird way, me as somebody that's trying to help grow this company's brand and the companies I've worked for, is I have a small little thumbprint on Skylines. And that is my driver. Like I tell people, yes, I had involvement with the Figge Museum and the iconic building in downtown Dabbert, Iowa in the late 90s. I helped win that job, and it's a bit emotional even. We had our rehearsal dinner for our wedding in that building. It was one of the first private events ever held in the building that I had some involvement with. And it's pretty cool to be able to point to those things. And so I'm in an industry that, yes, I'm a salesperson, but we're driven primarily by engineers, construction engineers that come from the Iowa States and the Purdue's of the world. But we have accountants. But those accountants, again, back to the topic earlier, they're helping. We absolutely have to have accountants, and they're integral to our business success and failure. But they also get to say they have a thumbprint on those buildings. And so that has driven me over these years to just love what I do. Every day is different. I was on a flight 2 nights ago, going to Wisconsin for a dinner and came home after that. Today, I'm golfing with an organization that we might be able to do some work with down the road. Next week, I'm going to be going into interviews for projects at a college that we're hopefully going to renovate a building for. There's no 2 days alike. It requires exceptional collaboration, not only internally, but externally, excellent communication skills, and just professional persistence. At the end of the day, I'm a salesperson. I'm proud of it. Nothing happens unless somebody says yes to us, and it requires you to be nimble on your feet, a good coworker, and a good representative of your organization. 25 years later, I'm still doing it. And if I wasn't still doing it, I'm not sure where I would be. I love what I do. They take care of me, and they support things like this that give back to our communities.
Matt, I want to zero in on pushing a broom. I think I had some similar experiences where I worked for Deere for a long time. But when I started out, I was driving a truck, working a parts counter. From pushing the broom to selling these multi-million dollar projects and making that happen, I think salespeople are problem solvers first and foremost. What did you really learn in that journey from playing to where you are today? Because that's not a story I knew. How does that give you an advantage in the business from being a laborer to now being a really successful sales professional?
Yeah, I think it adds some credibility. I jokingly tell people, you don't want me building your building, but I know enough. I know enough to be dangerous. And understanding the different aspects of what goes into the vision of Cold Penny's headquarters in 10 years. You've got a vision, you've got a budget, you've got a schedule, and these things that you want to come out of that building. I've been doing it long enough now, and sometimes it does take that time to understand the moving parts that are going to impact the success or failure of the project and for us to potentially be involved with it. And so I think number one, I do probably 3 out of 4 times, if I'm given the opportunity, somebody says, tell me your story, and it's in front of a prospect, I am telling them that I've been in the field, I've been there, I've done that. Same thing with my coworkers, because they, at the end of the day, the construction engineers, the people in the field, the men and women that are out there swinging hammers, I want them to know that I have been there. I may not be as good as they are at what they are doing, but I've been there and I understand the pains they have and the challenges they have. Because I don't know. I told the story. We've probably built 20 Walgreens over the years. Almost every one of them is probably the same footprint, same look, same feel, but you can't outsource construction. So what I mean by that is on every one of those projects, there was probably 100 different people on every project that somehow or another were involved. There was a different city and municipality that all had different rules. And so as much as you think it might be repetitive, no two are alike, even though the outcome of the project may be the same. And being flexible, being proactive, being excellent communicators, these are all things that over time you just learn, and you're going to have some bumps in the road. Learn from those. Make sure you don't make that mistake twice. Tell a kid, my eldest son, frustrated about a soccer game, I'm like, all you can do is try to improve in the next game. Learn from it, move forward. I just love the fact that no two projects are alike. It is a team play. I've been an athlete my entire life, and I think that athletic background and understanding that, yeah, okay, if you're a wrestler, it's you against one other person, but if you're volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball, no individual loses that game. Yeah. It might be the ninth inning and somebody strikes out, but what happened in the first inning? Did somebody have an error? Did somebody have a catch? Did somebody have a home run that helped that situation? That's the same thing at work, in life. And so I think that athletic background helps me, and certainly that experience of being on the floor and understanding the men and women that are actually behind the scenes creating these skylines, there's a ton of people involved in appreciating every person that's involved with the process.
No, that's amazing, Matt. It's great to get your perspective on the Walgreens piece. Like you say, like no two projects are the same, no two days are the same, no matter what you're doing. I wanted to ask you around, obviously we're just two dads trying to figure it out. Through your career journey and becoming a father, how did that change your perspective of work, your career? Frankly, how do you balance it all, man? Because you've got a busy schedule. You talk about being in Wisconsin, there's a golf thing, there's the travel, there's the nights gone, there's the travel sports. Tell me about how your perspective changed when you became a father with work, and then how do you balance it, man?
I think this, in some ways, that question drives the core to a certain extent of what a real piece of work should be. And is that a job is a job, but I think listeners, what I would really point out is that the culture of the organization matters. Yeah. You may have the same title at two different places, but at the end of the day, are they supportive of your lifestyle and where you're at in life? Yeah, when I was a rough in the 90s, I was a single guy with no extreme commitments other than work and fun.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was outside of work that was taking my time. Three kids later and coming back to Russell in 2017, life is different. I don't have as much flexibility outside of work. And so how do I balance it? It's an interesting little story. We got a company-wide meeting coming up, and 300 people are going to be converging on St. Louis in 3 to 4 weeks. The date of that event overlaps with what might be my soon-to-be graduating high school senior's last soccer game.
Oh, wow.
And so initially, I was like, oh, man, like, really? What am I going to do? And slept on it for one night. And as I sat with the chief operating officer of our company the other day, you know, she missed the company meeting. I don't know if that completely answered the question, but the culture here, and what I'm trying to tell the listeners is, does that organization allow that balance? I work my butt off. I really do. And my wife and I, we got two working spouses. Back to the how do we balance it? Organizations that support you. Then secondly, I got to tell you, when it's 11 o'clock at night, we're trying to figure out what the next 2 weeks look like. We earn our masters in logistics and scheduling. If we don't, we're losing, and it's long days. It is absolutely long days. But for our children, get them ready for being good humans and productive humans. That's what we signed up for, and we need to own, period.
I agree with you with the cultural piece of things. And it's great to have people around you and behind you in the work world that are going to support that sort of thing. We talk about the 90s and early 2000s, like, it was a much different work environment, and the flexibility wasn't there. And I think back to paternity leave now being a thing. Gosh, I took 20 minutes off and was back on it because I had to figure out how I was going to feed this new mouth that was in the house.
Yeah.
But it is awesome to see the flexibility that you have there at Russell, and then also embrace it for that next generation of parents. Like, I'm sure you've had those conversations where it's like, hey, man, I've done this. Yeah, I didn't have the flexibility, or I didn't make the right choices, but like, dude, take the time and invest at home. I think we all have dozens of examples of guys and gals who maybe didn't do it the right way and altered the course of their marriages and their families as a result. Work can be addictive. I think
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
It can be addictive. It can be like a drug some days. Is there any mentors that really stand out to you that you try to emulate your work or any of those pivotal moments that helped shape your career path and where you are today?
Yeah, my reaction to that is I've had a lot of informal mentors, and a lot of them were immediate bosses that I would get regular time with, whether it was formal or informal, and learning to listen, take constructive criticism and realize it's for your benefit that they're providing that, because you can't know everything day one. You don't know what you don't know. And sometimes it takes that experience. And that's almost a act like a parent sometimes. And that's what sometimes your bosses are and your peers are at work. When people do say things about a template of something that you drafted and they say, improve this, improve that, it's for the betterment of the result. It's not a personal attack. It's a coach that's taking the time to say, this is why you need to improve. In my case, coaching soccer, we're drilling in on kids and saying, you have no left foot. For the next 5 minutes, all you're going to do is use your left foot. I'm not trying to pick on you, but if you really think you want to be the best version of you as a soccer player, you got to put the time in. A lot of those informal coaches at work, I'm lucky here, Russell actually has a coach on staff that helps people that need it. That is a common thing in corporate world, that if you have that resource, tap into it. The other thing that I've been fortunate with, Matt, that I would probably give as much credence and applaud were leadership experiences. I referenced earlier Leadership Iowa, and I was surrounded by 39 other leaders from around the state of Iowa, all different sorts of backgrounds and ages and industries they played in. Hearing from them, interacting with them and what their businesses are and the challenges they are, huge impact. There's an organization called the Society for Marketing Professional Services. They had what was called SMPS University, where I went to University of Maryland, did continuing education to, again, hone my skills to be better and be a better version of myself for hopefully my company's success. So those are things that through associations, through organizations within the communities you live in or the industry you're in, I would say seek those out. Most industries have them, and they almost serve like a miniature MBA experience that only makes you better, and you can bring that back to your organization, be the best version of yourself.
Wow, man. So it's hard to believe so many years have clicked by. I still feel like I'm 25 most days. And we've seen an evolution, right? In the 90s, early 2000s, like, we had the smartphones, we were calls, or we were knocking on doors, and then all of a sudden you got your first BlackBerry or Palm Pilot, whatever it was, and we started getting mail during the day. And then
you lost a third of the audience there, but keep going.
Well, I know. I told you we're just too dense trying to figure it out. So maybe this is one of my more senior moments right now, but like, it's evolved. Like, selling has evolved, doing business has evolved, and let's just admit, most people don't pick up the phone today. Guilty as charged, just probably like our younger audience in a lot of ways. As the business has evolved, or we've got this whole AI revolution coming, what are you doing, or what skills are you working on to keep up with all of the change?
AI, 9 months ago, I would say I was just, doesn't apply.
Yeah.
And what do you know? I'm Austin Ziegler. Started dabbling with it. One of my peers here at Russell that is also in a sales capacity, once a week, he'd throw something across my desk and say, look at what this did. Look at what this did. And I'm like, huh. And today, 9 months later, with a little prodding from a younger coworker, there isn't a week that goes by that I am not creating original content, now dropping into AI to enhance it and make it better. So it's an additional tool that we should be leveraging. Students, if you got to write a paper, sorry, you still got to create the original content, but can AI help enhance it? Possibly. It's one more tool that we all should be wise about and consider using. Other stuff, and there's jobs out there for data, like having access to accurate data. And so as a company, we have a certain system we use to be quicker, smarter, faster about who are our target audiences to shorten the sales cycle, because every week, every day, week, month passes, we are, I don't want to say losing, but it drags out much further and it doesn't allow me to be successful in my sales endeavors. So data, AI, a story that I tell sometimes. I can distinctly remember the first time I used a text message with a prospect. And really? I thought it was so inappropriate at the time to send somebody a text message and say, I was out in Vegas at a retail conference and we had to meet somewhere, and it's Vegas so massive. If you don't have that exact pin somewhere to meet somebody, and something changes, how are you going to connect? This guy from Texas sent him a text message, say, I'll meet you at the betting bar in a casino. And I'm like, I can't believe I just did that. Now, every week, maybe not every day, but almost every week, I'm texting somebody saying, confirming receipt of a proposal. You have to evolve. And if you don't evolve, you're going to be losing.
Yeah, I think that's part of just investing in yourself and investing in your career, right? Trying to learn what is business today? And I agree with you. I probably had a similar reaction to AI. Being a marketer, I'm like, no, dude, authenticity wins. But I've been on a similar journey. And what I think is amazing is there's a lot of stories that wouldn't be told if not for AI. To help get those words organized, to help recall a memory and things like that.
Spot on.
Matt, I would love to continue this conversation.
No, we're gonna.
So we're gonna get to do this quite a bit. Man, I just want to say thank you for starting this podcast and being a person in the community who cares about the community and their kids and their family and is doing something about it versus just talking about doing something about it. I know that over the last 40 episodes or so, There's a question at the end that we ask all the guests.
You did your homework. Good job, bud.
I did my homework, but I'm not sure that I can spit the question out word for word.
Let me help you out.
Help me out. Ask the question and then answer the question.
So we always want to make sure we ask our guests, if you look at your 16-year-old self, what would you stop doing? What would you start doing and what would you keep doing to enhance your post-high school lives and career path? I didn't think about this. Stop doing. Wasting time. Like, I don't think I quite realized how much time I had. And I know I'm looking at my high schoolers and the faces in my head right now. They're busy. They really are. But capturing the time when you have it, don't procrastinate. That'll just allow you more free time to do things you really love. Keep doing. I think that partly I've had success in life. Keep doing is I am a very loyal person and I maintain relationships. I feel pretty well. You never know where those relationships are going to take you. I've told Dominic, my eldest, a number of times, dude, when you're in a car going to practice a game and a friend's parent is driving you there, Jeff Reynolds, ask Jeff about his career. Dude, you don't know where that might take you. And being inquisitive and curious and genuine and authentic about that interaction, he might hire you someday or refer you someday or be a reference someday. And so leverage it and start doing. I think it's easy as a salesperson to get caught up with what's next. And sometimes you got to slow down and celebrate. And tell anybody that, you and I have known each other for a while. We have fun. But like when it comes to work, you do need to celebrate and celebrate with your coworkers. It's a team play. It's, again, back to the sports analogy. Enjoy the moment and have fun with it and realize we're not anesthesiologists. We aren't. And we're not saving lives and put everything in context. So enjoy the moment. Have some fun and look forward to being better next time. So Matt, this absolutely has been great. Can't wait to keep this rolling with you. We got a bunch of great guests coming up. Listeners, make sure you're subscribing. And again, thanks to our friends at Junior Achievement in the Heartland and WVIK for making this happen.